Okay. All right. Good morning. Well, how many like to laugh? I love to laugh. Laughing is such a huge thing in our house. We love to laugh at the Thompson house. I have a very hilarious wife, and she makes me laugh all the time. And so I want to start today by giving you guys a few things that I think are funny. Typically, when I plan funny, it's not funny. But funny happens when I don't plan it. But today, I want to read to you guys a few bulletin bloopers, okay? Now, here's the thing. I sit and laugh at these bloopers by myself to the point of tears. But sometimes when I share them, people don't laugh. So I'm hoping that today you will find these bloopers funny, okay? These are actual things that were written in church bulletins, okay? So here's I'm going to hit them really quick, 10 of them. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Please place your donations in the envelope along with the deceased person you want remembered. That's terrible. It's terrible. This was in a bulletin. Some of these sound like they were in, like, maybe my great-grandma's church's bulletin, but let us join David and Lisa in the celebration of their wedding and bring their happiness to a conclusion. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church. That's a good one. Tuesday at 4 p.m., there will be an ice cream social. All ladies giving milk will please come early. That's... that's a little much. I'm sorry if I offended anyone. The peacekeeping meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. I'm so glad you guys are laughing. Oh my gosh. It'd be terrible if you didn't. The rosebud on the altar this morning is to announce the birth of David Allen Belzer, the son of Reverend and Mrs. Belzer. It's horrible. Number 8, the ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They can be seen in the church basement on Sunday. A bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. So awful. And the last one, number 10, the sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. So cheesy, right? Oh, gosh. I apologize for all of that. I really do. So how about we get to Jesus right now? Could we just lift our hands all over this place? I just want to pray. Father, thank you for this community. I thank you for joy. I thank you for peace. I thank you that a third of the kingdom is joy, righteousness, peace, and joy. And I pray that these next minutes together would be full of joy and the hope of heaven. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our entire being so that we could be all that you made us to be. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to start with John chapter 10. And it's Jesus speaking in verse 1. And he says this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We are learning to recognize the voice of Jesus. How many are recognizing to know the voice of Jesus? We're learning to recognize it. And we're not only learning to recognize it, we're actually learning to respond to the voice of Jesus. Amen? We're learning to respond to it. The sheep recognize his voice and he leads them out. Who leads? Who leads? Who follows? Yeah, he leads and we follow. His sheep follow. Why? Because they know his voice. They know, how many want to know his voice more today? I do too. They know his voice, in fact, so well that they will not follow a stranger is what he says. They actually run from a stranger because they don't know his voice. I want to say this to you today, that learning to recognize the voice of Jesus, learning to recognize the voice of the Father, learning to recognize the voice of Holy Spirit, we could say the triune God, learning to recognize his voice is central to all of life. It's central to all of life, and it's of the highest importance of our lives. Recognizing the difference between the voice of the Father and the voice of a stranger is central to our life. Knowing the difference between the two is literally the difference between living and death. Learning between the difference, knowing the difference between the voice of our Father and the voice of a stranger is literally the difference between living in life or living in death. It's a difference between the voice of fear or love. It's a difference between living in the hearing the voice of doubt or belief, right? Or despair or hope. The difference between anxiety or trust. It's the difference of those. When the stranger's voice comes, you know, have you ever heard the voice of a stranger? And I'm not talking about like the like, hey, little kid, come here voice. I mean like that voice that's like, that comes and it comes to hear, right? When that voice comes, it's a difference. When it comes with a lie. When the stranger's voice comes, it comes with a lie, or it comes with the manipulation of the truth. When the stranger's voice comes, it comes full of accusation. It comes full of self-hatred. When the stranger's voice comes, it comes with like self-doubt, lies like you're not good enough. Has anybody ever heard that voice? You're not good enough. The stranger's voice sounds something like you don't have what it takes. Stranger's voice is like, it's never going to change. Stranger's voice comes like, that marriage, that person, they're never going to change. It's not changing. That's the voice of a stranger. It comes with things like, they don't like you. You don't fit in. The stranger's voice comes, it comes with things like, they did you wrong. You have every right to be angry and mad. You should hold on to that. Has anybody ever heard that stranger's voice? Stranger's voice comes, it comes like that. It's the stranger's voice comes, it says, hey, go ahead and give in to that temptation. You don't have the power to say no. The stranger's voice comes, it always sounds like those things and beyond. And sometimes it sounds like the truth, but it's not. It's a manipulation of the truth. Sometimes the voice of the stranger is really obvious, and sometimes the voice of the stranger is really subtle. Most of the time, I think the stranger's voice is really subtle. But over time, listening to that voice develops mindsets within us. Listening to that voice develops patterns in our lives. Listening to that voice, those lies develop outlooks on life that shape how we see reality. We listen to that. Every day, there is a choice to follow the voice of the Father or the voice of a stranger. And we are learning to tune our ear. How many want to tune your ear today? Today is a day of tuning our ear. Jesus says a little further down in verse 10, he says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's what Jesus says. Think about the impact right now of knowing his voice in everyday life. Think about the impact of knowing his voice, the voice of the Father, the voice of love, the voice of courage, the voice of hope, the voice of security. Think about knowing that voice in everyday life, that we can follow a voice of a stranger that steals, kills, or destroys, or we have the opportunity to listen to the voice that brings life and life abundantly. I don't know about you, but I want to listen to the voice that brings life and life abundantly. Every time we listen to the voice of a stranger, every time that we partner with a lie, we can know exactly where that came from. It came from the father of lies.
who is the devil. He's the author of all lies. He's the author of all confusion. He's the author of all manipulation and twisting of the truth. Every time we give into the stranger's voice of temptation, the motivation is to steal and kill and destroy you. Think about it that way. Every time we listen to that voice, every time we give into a temptation, the motivation of that temptation is to rob and kill and destroy from you. And Jesus says, I don't want you to listen to that voice. I want you to listen to my voice because I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Why do so many people listen and follow the voice of a stranger when we were designed and made to listen to the voice of our Father? Here's the promise again. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice and will not follow the voice of a stranger. You were created to hear and follow the voice of love. You were created and made to hear the voice of your Father, and everything that says otherwise is a lie. Every time you think I can't hear, I don't know what to do, it's a lie. The truth is you were made to hear and you were made to know. I want to just say this today, that it could be that distinguishing between those two voices, the voice of our Father and the voice of a stranger, should be the greatest priority of our day, of the days that we have, to know the difference between those two voices. Today, I want to help equip us. Today, I want to help equip us. Today, I want to help strengthen you. I want to help you on your journey. Do you ever just need help on your journey? How many need help on your journey? I mean, all my hands, I've only got two, but they're raised. I need help on my journey. And I believe today that distinguishing the difference and following the voice of our Father starts with our minds and our thoughts. Because everything begins with a thought. Shake your head. Everything begins with a thought. Romans 12, here we go. Verse 1, this is the real message. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Can we say that out loud together? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Isn't that good? So be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Transformation comes through the renewing of your mind. How do we become transformed? Through the renewal of our minds up in here. How many have a mind? How many have a brain? Turn to somebody and say, you have a brain. Come on, tell them strong. You've got a brain. You've got a brain. You've got a brain. I've been learning some things about the brain, and I feel kind of funny talking about the brain, because one of my friends, he's a brain surgeon, he's here today, so he's probably going to be critiquing me extra on the brain. But I've been learning about the brain as I've been reading a little bit from Dr. Caroline Leaf. Have y'all heard of her before? She writes about the brain. She's a neuroscientist, a Christian neuroscientist. And the Lord's just been laying some of this stuff on my heart so much in the last couple of months, and I want to share with you, and it's literally been mind-blowing. No pun intended. Did you know? Here we go. Did you know that the average person has 30,000 thoughts a day? 30,000 thoughts a day. 75, listen to this statistic, 75 to 95%, she says, of illnesses that plague us today are a direct result of our thought life. What we think about affects us physically and emotionally. Researchers show that fear, all on its own, triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones. That's a lot of triggers, and that's a lot of hormones. We call them hormones in our house. That's a lot of hormones. That was funny, I thought, but not so much. Yeah. Think about that. Fear alone. Fear alone. When you're living in fear, you experience fear. It triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses in your body and activates more than 30 different hormones. Think about that. So powerful. She says we have two minds, okay? We have two minds. We have our conscious mind and we have our subconscious mind. And in our conscious mind, it consists of the thoughts that you are intentionally choosing to think, okay? Like, I need that microphone because my other one doesn't work. I consciously decided to pick that microphone up, okay? Those sorts of thoughts only are 5% of what you use in a day with your brain. And then we have our subconscious mind. It's our other mind. It controls how we perceive life. It controls how we react to situations. The subconscious controls how we think about ourselves and what we can even accomplish in a day or a week or in a lifetime. Your subconscious is what's running you 95% of your life. Subconscious is what is running you 95% of the time. When you are not consciously thinking, when your mind wanders, when you react to situations without thinking, when you're driving and you've realized that you've zoned out and you've driven 4 hours. Have you ever had that happen? I mean, gosh, I drive to work and I don't know how I get there. In the morning, you know what I mean? You get up in the morning, you're like in the car, you're cruising down the road, and you're like, how did I get to Hope Church? My subconscious was driving me. Isn't that amazing? 95% of our thoughts are driven, running by our subconscious. Your true heart, she says, and your identity is your subconscious. Your true heart and your identity is your subconscious. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Neuroplasticity. I feel so smart saying that word. I feel so smart saying that. Say it with me. Neuroplasticity. Here it's going to be on the screen. Is a new scientific discovery proving that we can literally change our brains through our thoughts and choices. We can physically create new neural pathways and destroy old ones. We can wire out toxic beliefs, experiences, and thinking patterns and wire in truths, good habits, outstanding thinking patterns. Isn't that amazing? Neuroplasticity. It's a scientific term. Even medical research increasingly points to the fact that thinking and consciously controlling your thought life is one of the best ways, if not the best way, of detoxing your brain. It allows you to get rid of those toxic thoughts and emotions that can consume and control your mind. She says, change in your thinking is essential to detoxing the brain. Are you guys picking this up? This is powerful stuff. This science and the Bible go together. For real, consciously controlling your thought life means not letting thoughts rampage through your mind. It means learning to engage interactively with every single thought that you have and to analyze it before you decide to either accept it or reject it. We Christians would refer to this as taking every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 2:10, taking every thought captive. It says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that's raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Jesus. Who destroys? What we just read, who destroys the arguments and the lofty opinions that are raised up against Jesus in our minds? Who does? We do. Who destroys them? We do. We do. Where do we destroy them? We destroy them in our minds. We actually have authority over our minds. That is so powerful. You and I have authority over everything that goes in and out of our minds. We have full, complete authority. We have authority over what happens in us. We can't control what's done to us, but we can control what happens in us. We have authority over everything that goes on in our mind. Have you ever had a mental argument going on in your brain with yourself? Have you ever had like a tug of war inside your brain before in your thought life? God is for me. No, he isn't. He doesn't like me. You know, he loves me. He loves me not. I mean, it seems silly, but you know what? The root of most things come to that. God is good. No, he's not. He's going to be there for me. No, he isn't. You know what I mean? It's back and forth, this tug of war. The truth is today, I want to tell you by what we just read and what the Bible says, that we have the authority in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to destroy every stronghold of the mind. Every stronghold of the mind, every argument of the mind that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus has to get out. If we tell it to get out, it has to go. We don't actually have to live with toxic thinking. We don't actually have to live with toxic beliefs. It is time, I believe, church, to run from the voice of the stranger. Just like Jesus said that we had the authority to do, the power to do. Dr. Leaf says this. She says, each thought that we think is a physical structure in our brain. The more we think about something, the more the structure grows. Think about that. The more we think about, take that off the screen, would you, real quick? I want to just say this because I want you to listen to what I'm saying. The more we think about something, the more the structure grows. The more you think about something, the more the structure grows. We have the power, she says. You can put it back up. We have the power to choose what we think about. And therefore, what neural pathways will be in our brain, which shapes the way we see reality. Turn to somebody and say, this is really important. Come on, tell them. This is really important. It's science in the Bible. The more we think about something, the more the structure grows. The more you think about something. So the question I think this morning is this. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What are you daydreaming about? What are you thinking about? If you're thinking about what you don't have, then what you don't have is going to grow. If you're thinking about the lack of something, the lack is going to grow. If you're consumed with fear and thinking about fearful things, fear is going to grow. You're growing the structure of fear. If you go over and over in your mind about how you were done wrong, unforgiveness is going to grow. And it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow to the point that you can't think anymore and you're so consumed. Why do people do crazy things? Because they let structures grow in their brains to the point that they couldn't control it anymore and they didn't know what to do. It consumed them up there to the place of doing something ridiculous instead of taking the truth and meditating on the truth. Because when we do that, the truth grows. And takes over in there. But when we accept a lie and we think about some lie or some manipulation of the truth, then that lie grows. Think about this lust. If you think about lust all the time, if you're lusting, lust grows. Why is porn such a horrible, addictive thing? Because when it gets in there, and then people, then there's this continual watch, and then they think about it, they meditate on it, and those pathways grow, and those structures grow, and those images grow to the point that they cannot stop. Anger is the same thing. Little seed gets in there, planted, it grows. You water it by thinking about it. You water it, you water it, you water it. That thing grows, that anger, that rage starts to come out. And all of a sudden, you find yourself being so angry, flipping off. And you didn't, you know, not flipping off. I don't know what I said there, but like just flipping out is what I meant. Flipping out. You start flipping out and you're like, what just happened to me? Because you had planted something and it started to grow and you watered it and that structure grew and grew and grew in your mind until you didn't know what to do about it anymore. And then it starts coming out in crazy ways. Church, we have the power to choose what we think about. We knew it already because the Bible told us, but now the science backs it up as well. We didn't really need that because we needed the Bible, just the Bible, what it says, but the science is saying the same thing. We have the power to choose what we think about. Therefore, we decide what neural pathways are going to grow in our brain, which shapes the way we see reality. Open my eyes to the reality of heaven. To meet me in this moment. That's such a good song. I wish I wrote it. I didn't. Now I'm glad she wrote it. Yeah, I'm not. Where is she? Oh, there she is. She, her. That awesome girl. We decide what neural pathways will be in our brain, which shapes the way we see reality. If you're having difficulty seeing kingdom perspective on anything, chances are you need a new neural pathway. And you need some rewiring in your brain. How many even just say right now, I know already I need some rewiring? Come on, I see that hand. Who give me 10, 20? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. There isn't a thought that can come into your mind that you don't have the choice to accept or reject. There is, you're not powerless to thoughts that come in your mind. There isn't a single thought that you don't have the authority to say, I am refusing that thought, or I'm accepting that thought. And guys, that's the best news ever. I want you to hear that today. If you take nothing else away from today, I want you to take away when you walk out of these doors that you are powerful and you have the authority in you to take captive every thought that comes to you. Just because it comes doesn't mean you have to accept it. You have the authority to accept or reject that thought. I am the doorkeeper of my mind, and so are you. Not of my mind, but your mind. I am the doorkeeper. Thank God, 300 people aren't the doorkeeper of my mind. I am the doorkeeper. I just got a visual on that. I am the doorkeeper of my mind. You are the doorkeeper of your mind. You get to say what comes in and what doesn't. If there's a lie that's taken hold in your mind, you let it in. I'm smiling at you because it's actually good news. If there is a lie that has come in and taken hold in you, you let it in. If there's a lie that has come in and taken hold in me, I let it in. And whether it was intentional or whether it was unintentional, many times it's unintentional, we have to get it out. We have to get it out. How do we rewire? I want to tell you what she says. Dr. Leaf says that after we expose a lie or the toxic thought pattern, that we have to then rewire the truth. And we don't just do it for 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or a week or two. We have to rewire by replacing that lie or that negative thought pattern every day for 3 cycles of 21 days. That's like for 2 months. If you want to rewire that subconscious place, that outlook on life, you have to each day take that lie, take that untruth, take that toxic belief and rewire it by putting in the truth of it and repeating it and meditating it on every day for 2 months. Replace the lie, replace the sin for 2 months every day so that new neural pathway can be changed. It's called renewing the mind. It's called renewing the mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8 says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death. We say that out loud. To set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, here's the hope, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. How many have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Yeah. If you're a believer, the Spirit of God dwells in you. So here's the simple fact about what we just read. People who live in the flesh, they set their minds on the flesh. People who live in the Spirit, they set their minds on the Spirit. So the question is, what are you thinking about? The question is, where are you setting your mind? You've been given the mind of Christ, right? It's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. And you might be sitting here today and say, well, you don't know what goes on in my mind. You don't know the kind of thoughts I have, the kind of things I'm living with, the kind of death that's up in here. There's no way I have the mind of Christ. I know there's people in this room that feel that way today. And I want to just say to you today that as a believer, you absolutely have been given the mind of Christ. You absolutely have been given. You just need an update. You just need an update. You just need a detox. You just need a rewiring. You just need to get rid of those viruses and all those pop-ups that have kind of come in from all the places you've gone and all the things that you've thought about. You need a detox. You've got the mind. You just need an update in your software. Does that connect? Because that really connects with me. For real, for real. I mean, I am sweating, so I feel like that's good preaching. But the mind of Christ has been given to you. The mind of Christ has been given to you. The mind of Christ has been given to you. You have the mind of Christ right now. Right now, no matter what the toxic thoughts have been, no matter where your thought life has been, you have the mind of Christ, and it is time for a detox so you can be updated to the full measure that you were created to live in up in here. Jesus paid for it. Signed, sealed, delivered. It's yours. Thank you, Jesus and Stevie Wonder. Okay, one more scientific term. Here we go, and I'm wrapping it up. The scientific discovery called epigenetics. Say that word. Epigenetics. Michael's probably going to come and correct me on everything after this service. He's the brain surgeon guy. So epigenetics proves that we can change our genetic expression. Our thoughts and our lifestyle control how our genes express themselves. Listen to this right now. Listen. Even if you've had a bad gene or a predisposition for something, your choices determine if that gene gets expressed or not. Get the hanky out right now. That is life right there. Listen to this. This is a scientific epigenetics. Our thoughts and our lifestyle control how our genes express themselves. Our thoughts and our lifestyles, even if you have a bad gene or you have a predisposition to something, maybe generations before you were alcoholics, you don't have to express that gene. It's the good news of the gospel. It is the truth. Pastor Gary talks about it all the time. And science is coming right up behind it saying, it's true. Your thoughts and your lifestyle control how those genes are expressed. This is freedom today, church. This is freedom for us. Your choices determine if that gene gets expressed or not. Each morning, when you wake up in the morning, you have new brain cells that are waiting to be programmed to do whatever you are thinking about. It's called neurogenesis. I feel so smart saying it. Neurogenesis. Oh, I'm like practically a doctor now. Neurogenesis. I'm kidding. It's called neurogenesis. This is why. I want to say it again. Brain cells, every morning you wake up, those first moments you wake up out of your like sleep, you have new brain cells that are waiting to be told where to go. Every morning. That's why the mornings are so important. Each morning, it's like these little guys are there. They're like, where should I go? What should we think about? Where should I, what structure should I build today in this little thing called your mind? Where should I go? What should I do? Morning is such an important time, church. The worst thing you can do in the morning is grab your phone. And I told it, previous to the revelation, I'd been very guilty of this. Okay, so no condemnation. The worst thing you can do in the morning is grab your phone. Do you know why? Because you grab your phone and you start scrolling. I don't care what you're scrolling. You're scrolling the news. You're scrolling your social media. You're scrolling your bank account. You're scrolling. I mean, whatever you're scrolling in the morning, I'm telling you what, that is the wrong move. Because those little brain cells, those new ones, they're saying, who am I? Where should we go? Where should we build? And if you're scrolling through all that stuff, you're sending your mind a million different ways. And instead, you need to bring those morning moments, those first waking moments to truth. You need to bring those moments and feast on the truth of who he is and build structures that are kingdom structures in your brain. Can you imagine what would happen if we renewed our minds each morning in the presence of God? Whether it was just 2 minutes or 5 minutes or an hour, you have 2 hours, whatever it is. If you decided, I am going to set my mind on things above. I'm going to set my thoughts on him. I'm going to take captive and I am going to decide that my brain cells are going to form good structures. Tell those brain cells where to go. A while back, I was, not that a while back ago, I'd say even in the last year, I kind of hit a little bit of a pattern where I'd wake up in the morning and the first thought when I'd wake up would be dread. Have you ever felt dread? Is it discouragement? And it was sort of subtle at first. It wasn't so obvious. And I'd lay there and it kind of just would grow and I'd start thinking about what was wrong or what wasn't or things that just didn't seem to be changing or that I just start kind of thinking about that and meditating on that. And all of a sudden, you know, I'd just be waking up and I'd start thinking about that and it just started growing. And this turned into like a month, 2 months, 3 months, and all of a sudden it was just in the morning. The morning wasn't a good place. And in I started praying about it and saying, God, I realize this is not what I'm supposed to wake up to. And so I felt like the Lord leading me into this. And so I said, I'm going to make a change. And I didn't even know all this stuff yet. It came a little bit after. I said, I'm going to make a change. And so first thing in the morning, when I wake up, I consciously brought my thoughts because I have the authority to bring my thoughts into alignment. I can say, yes, I'm going to think about this. No, I'm not going to think about this. Bringing my thoughts to that place. And I felt like the Lord gave me this little song. And I didn't sing it, I said it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. And I would repeat this about 20 times every morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. And I did this and I didn't even know I had to do it for 3 cycles of 21 days. I just started doing it. And I want to tell you what, my brain got rewired. I do not wake up with dread. I do not wake up with discouragement because I decided to shift. I put my phone down. I do not scroll in the morning. I put my phone down and I start coming in agreement with the truth and filling those thoughts with truth. And I tell those new brain cells where to go. Here's the application and the prescription, okay? Since I'm a doctor now. Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Say it with me, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everybody. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many want the peace of God to guard your heart and your mind? I know you do. I know you crave it. I can feel it in the room. You crave a different life. You crave a different way. Here is the prescription. Rejoice. How often? Always. The message says celebrate God all day long. Celebrate God all day long. Let your reasonableness, let your gentleness be known to everybody. Don't be anxious. Bring everything by prayer and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. Say that with me. Whatever is true. Read it with me. Whatever is true. Keep going. Whatever is honorable. Whatever is just. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence. If there is anything worthy of praise. Think about these things. Think about these things. Think about these things and you will create new neural pathways and structures in your mind that are kingdom thoughts. Your mind will become renewed. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace be with you. How does the reality of a renewed mind come? It comes by feasting on truth. Feasting on truth, setting your minds on what is true. What I've seen in my own life at times and what I've seen as I pastored for these years is that sometimes people get a case of the stinking thinking. Have you ever had the stinking thinking? Have you ever had that stink up in there? Have you ever had that? And it grew. It was like a season and like kept growing. People get that stinking thing. It just stinks. And how many have ever been around somebody that's had that?
Oh, you recognize it in others, but not yourself. Yeah, I know you are. We're all that way. It's easy to smell it on somebody else. It's a little harder to smell it on yourself sometimes, right? Speaking of smells, we moved to the country like about 5 months ago, and there's so many different things about country living. But one of the things is that we have to take our trash to the end of the road we live on. Because that's where the trash man picks up our trash. So our trash cans are down at the end of the road. It's like a total... First, I thought, I can't believe this. I mean, I'm going to have to get like a four-wheeler or something. But I didn't get a four-wheeler. I did want one, but maybe someday. So I load the trash in our truck. And I try and do it real clean and, you know, keep it. And we have to drive it down the road. And it's about a half a mile down our road. Okay, and so I typically take the trash out in the mornings. So I'll pack up all the trash, you know, and I'll pull out of our driveway and I'll drive down the road about a half a mile, and then I'm supposed to drop the trash off at the end of the road. But sometimes my subconscious is driving me, and I forget that I've got trash in the car, and that trash comes with me. And I drive it all the way into Springfield. And about half the way into town, I forget that I have the trash. I don't even know it. And all of a sudden, I smell this smell. And I think, what the heck is that smell? And I get half, oh my gosh, I forgot to drop the trash off. And then I go further. I think, oh, I'm going to have to dump it in the dumpster at church when I get there. And so I keep driving and I keep driving, and many times I get used to the stink in the car. And by the time I get to Hope Church, I don't even realize that I stink in that car anymore. Because I've been in the stink so long, it doesn't stink anymore. Have you ever been in a stink so long that you don't know you stink? Most people that stink physically, they don't know they do. Think about it. So, I go into church with my trash in my car.
And I have all my meetings and all my things, and I do all my things, and then I have to go to like a lunch thing, and I go out to my car, and I open the door, and phew, it's been sitting in a hot car for 4 hours. And let me tell you, I'm reminded that I didn't take the trash out. So then I pull around back and I drop that trash out. And I felt like the Lord was like this. Many, many people are driving around with trash in their cars and it stinks so bad, but sometimes we don't even know it stinks. And the Lord says, I want you to get free of that stinking thinking so you can be all you were made to be. And you can drop the trash off at home or church, but you don't actually have to wait to get to church to drop the trash off. You can drop it off at home. Now that will preach right there, people. You don't have to wait for this. You can drop the trash off at home. You were actually made and intended to leave your trash at home. Not in your house, but in the trash place. And then the trash man comes and picks it up. Holy Spirit comes and picks. I could get weird here. I'm serious. Do you get this? The Lord is speaking to us. Come here, drop your trash off. It's fine. You know, that you can do that. But God is leading us to a place where you actually drop your stinky trash off at home in the morning. In the morning, with the way that you set your thoughts. Okay, you got to stand up. We're going to do something right now. We're going to respond to this. So I want you just to, Charity's going to keep playing, just lift your hands all over this place. And I think the Lord, I'm just going to do this with you. It's going to be kind of different. I really ask you, if you're okay with this, just to lift your hands and close your eyes. So I just want no distractions all over the room. Yeah. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you right now. We welcome you right now. And I want us to do this. We're going to ask, we're going to say a prayer. And I believe, because you hear the voice of your Father, that you're going to hear from him right now. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Father, Father, what lie have I been believing? I believe he's just going to speak to you right now. Father, what lie have I been believing? Now I want you to repeat this prayer. Father, say it out loud together. Father, what's the truth about that lie? See, he speaks to you. He speaks to you. Because he wants to replace every lie with truth. And he wants to take all of the stinking thinking and replace it with truth. And he wants to create new neural pathways in your mind and new structures that are kingdom structures so you can walk in the Spirit and fulfill everything you're made to fulfill. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give him a shout of praise together. Yeah.